I must tell you that I am absolutely overwhelmed that so many people on Erev Yom Kippur, when there's so much to do, are willing to come out, come up to the yeshiva to hear Divrei Torah and his Oiros. On the one hand, it would seem that this is the most natural thing to do, but just the same, it's not typical. And it is very much to the credit of the people associated with our yeshiva, the people who organized this Kollel Yom Rishon program, the Center for the Jewish Future, Rabbi Brander, and of course, Rabbi Rab Shur and Rabbi Levi Mostavsky, Va'al Kulam, our Nossi, the President Joel's vision and President Joel's yearning for this yeshiva to be more and more the center of Torah for a very large swath of Klal Yisrael is manifesting itself tonight and in so many different ways. Any of you who have entered into the new Beis Medrash realize that the centrality of Torah in our yeshiva received an incredible boost, but only reflects upon the vision that already existed from the very outset and is merely a manifestation and therefore not a singular event in its significance, because it draws attention to what Torah means to all of us here at Yeshiva in a very special way. I can only wish you a great deal of Hatzlocha, because your Hatzlocha is our Hatzlocha collectively, and my personal Hatzlocha as well. I'd like to dedicate this shiur in memory of a cousin of ours who was nifter Erev Shabbos without anyone to sit Shiva for him. He was a Yid from the town of Zhager in Lithuania. Zhager is a little town which had thousands of Jews on the border of Lithuania and Latvia. Erev Yom Kippur, the Jews were rounded up, and either on Yom Kippur or Motzai Yom Kippur in 1941, they were rounded by the thousands, some say 3,000, others say up to 7,000 Jews were rounded up. And except for those who ran away to become partisans and fight the Lithuanians who joined the Nazis, every single Jew in Zhager was killed on that day, man, women, and child. Man, woman, and child. The Lithuanian guards insisted that every Jew should pass by their holy rabbi, Rabbi Rif, Hashem Yimkom Domo, and spit in his face. And of course they refused. And Rav Rif said, no, you must do it, because otherwise they may torture you. And they killed them anyhow, nearly to the last one. And the reason we know any of this is because there was one sole survivor of those 3,000. Our cousin was amongst the partisans, and he eventually emigrated to America and lived in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. His name was Norman Scher, Noach Zev Ben Yaakov Koppel, and he lived to the ripe age of 96. Because he has no children, I felt that it was appropriate that this period, which is the period that would have been his Shiva and would have come soon to an end with Yom Kippur, should be properly marked. And I felt that there was no greater significance than to mark it in the context of giving a shiur Erev Yom Kippur. And I have to tell you that the first thing that came to my mind when I was asked by the extended mishpacha of cousins to remember him at this moment, which of course I wanted to in any case myself, the first thing that came to my mind was the medrash of Avraham Avinu at the Akedah, and the pasuk says, "Vayarv hine ayil achar nechaz basvach bekarnov." I'm thinking to myself, we went through such an incredible Akedah, and after that Churban, when one third of all of Klal Yisrael was wiped out in such a horrible manner, and so many Jews lost their faith, and so many Jews had been assimilated from the communism of Russia, or from the desperation of World War I, and from the immigration to the United States, and all that chaos destroyed their emunah and ruined their opportunity to pass on the Torah to the next generation. And you go to town after town and city after city in the United States, in the Midwest and South, and you see communities that had so many, that kosher butchers, Larov. And nothing was left, nothing remained. And we asked ourselves at that moment in history, who could have predicted the extraordinary resilience of Klal Yisrael, the unbelievable heichetimtza of a koilo yomrishon collection of such glorious people coming to learn Torah by the hundreds on the night of Erev Yom Kippur? Who could have believed that batei medrashim in all of the world are full of yidden who are erlich yidden? The kind of people who were described so beautifully by Rav Schechter just a moment ago. People who acknowledge that they have the Sefer Torah in their neshama. People who acknowledge that their agenda could produce karnei hod. People who sit leilois kayomim ala Torah v'ala avoida. People who are meiser nefesh to keep the mitzvahs that Hashem commanded them and to raise a door for Torah. Thousands in the Mir Yerushalayim. Lakewood Yeshiva is now going to have its 6,000th Talmud registered in the Yeshiva. Our Yeshiva is bursting at the seams with Bnei Torah. People who are immersed in Torah Yoimim V'Layla. People who after a long day come back to the Beis Medrash at night to stay till 10, 11, 12, even 1 o'clock. Who would have imagined such a thing? Who would have imagined an Eretz Yisrael full of Yiddishkeit? And you know something, I was thinking about it. You know what bothers, I never had a conversation with him, and we all hope that he pagers very soon. But what bothers Ahmadinejad so much? So if I was a mind reader, I would say, you know what bothers him? What bothers him about a Medinas Yisrael? What bothers him so much? What bothers him about the Holocaust? Why do you have to deny the Holocaust? What is it? What is it to him? You know what the answer is? It's not the politics. The answer is because if you see what happens to a Klal Yisrael who come out of a Holocaust and what should have happened to them, there's only one answer to the question, so why didn't it happen to them? And that is because we have the emes, because we are the Am Hashem, because we are the Am HaNifchar, and that's what bothers the whole of the world. And that is why there can't be a Holocaust. Can't be so many people. Can't be so much murder. How can you survive that? How can you come out of it sane? How can you rebuild? How can you create a whole country? How can you turn the sands into flourishing gardens? It's impossible. Of course it's impossible. Without the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's impossible. Without the Emes, it's impossible. And that's what bothers them all. So I was thinking about this Medrash. The Medrash says, "Hine ayil achar nechaz basvach bekarnov." What is achar? Hinei ayil achar nechaz basvach bekanav. Vayelech Avram vayikachas ha'ayil vayalei le'ola tachas b'no. You know,
The Medrash Rabba says the following. It's not in the Makaros, because I did not know when I gave the Makaros that I would be mentioning this Niftar and speaking about this Medrash. But the Medrash says the following. Amar Avraham Ribbon HaOlamim, I efsha li leired mikan beloy karban. After the reprieve of the Akedah, it is Avram's concern that he must bring a sacrifice to Hashem. That itself is mind-boggling. Amar loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu haloy karbancha mitukan misheishes yemei breishes. You know, this Medrash Rabbah goes according to the Yesh Omrim that you have in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hei, that of the things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmoshos, one of them, Yesh Omrim Af Eloi Shel Avraham. So this Medrash says that your ayil was already prepared. The Nechaz Basvach is not just an image of an ayil trapped, it's an image of an ayil which has been prepared and is held stationary. Because the image of an ayil, Rotz Katzvi. But this ayil is trapped in time. He's Nechaz Basvach, waiting for the Akedah to take place. But you know what it says to me? What it says to me is that Avraham Avinu is being told now, don't you see? I'm revealing to you, because the ayil is Nechaz Basvach, that the Akedah was always supposed to turn out this way. And Yaakov is supposed to happen, so Yitzchak cannot die. And Klal Yisrael is supposed to happen, so Yitzchak cannot die. And the whole world is created b'shvil Yisrael shenikru reishis, so Yitzchak cannot die. Ki bi Yitzchak yikari l'chazora. So I prepared for you an ayil nechaz basvach bekanav. But you know, it's very interesting. The Medrash continues and it asks the following question. What does the word tachas mean? What does tachas mean? So tachas says the Medrash has two meanings. What does tachas mean? Instead of, in place of. But what else does tachas mean? Subsequent. When we speak of the king dying and he is replaced by his son, the prince, Vayimloich Tachas Aviv. So what does that mean? It means that first there was this king, and he was a king, and now there's the new king. Long live the king. So Tachas has two meanings. Tachas sometimes means instead of, and the first one didn't happen, and sometimes Tachas means the first one happened, and now there's a second one. And the Medrash interprets Tachas exactly so by the Akedah. This, by the way, has enormous consequences in terms of our ontological perceptions of what the Akedah means in the relationship of us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know. Chazal tell us that Afro Shel Yitzchak Tzavru Munach is right now Tzavru Munach. So was there an Akedah? Was he a carbon or was he not a carbon? Well, one man Diyama says he was almost a carbon, and that's good enough. But there's no Afro Shel Yitzchak. But the other man Diyama says, no, Tachas means first it was the carbon of Yitzchak, and he was a carbon, and this is the next carbon. Sometimes we're Zoicha, and we have an Akedah that's almost an Akedah. And sometimes we have the tragedy of all tragedies, and the Akedah is fulfilled, b'miluo. And we have the offer of Yitzchak in every corner. I'm a Kohen. I never returned. My mother is buried in Lodz, Poland. I never returned. What's the point? And every place I would go, I would be worried that I'm standing on a caver. Do you know how many graves there are that we haven't found out yet? There's this priest that goes around all over the Ukraine, and he's looking for kvarim, mass graves, because they weren't led to the crematoria. And they weren't buried in Kfarim either. They were just shot in forests, Babi Yars, and they were completely wiped out, and nobody knows. And you go to these peasants, now they're old and sick and frail, and some of them even have a Hirut Tshuva. And they know where they are. They know, because they participated. They lent their hand. And they reveal to him because he talks to them and he's a guy, a priest. And they tell him, yes, here, yes, here, yes, there. I'm afraid to walk. The whole of Europe, the whole of Eastern Europe is saturated with the blood of our people. Sometimes there's an akedah that happened. But there's always going to be that image of Ayil Acha Nechas Basvach Vayaleu Le'olo Tachas Beno. There's always going to be a tachas, there's going to be a carbon of the ayil, and there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash, and there's going to be a Kohen Gadol, and there's going to be a Yom Kippur, and there's going to be a Kohel Yom Rishon sitting here listening to Divrei Torah, after the Afro Shel Yitzchak is in fact Tzavru Munach Al Gabei Mizbeach, to the tune of 6 million karbanis. Even then, there's going to be a renaissance. Even then, there's going to be a Klal Yisrael. Even then, we're going to have the promise of Afgam Zos B'Yosam Be'eretz Oyevehem Loi Ma'astim V'Loi Ga'altim L'Chalosam U'Lohafer Brisi Itam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that He will never annihilate us and will never sever His relationship with us, and He'll never subvert the covenant that He made with us. So the Ilu Nishmas Noyach Zei Ben Yaakov couple, I dedicate this shir. I was listening to Rav Schechter's very beautiful and brilliant presentation, and I was thinking about some of the things that I had prepared to say. And it's true, I spent a lot of time thinking and learning about Erev Yom Kippur, a great deal from the Rav himself, Zichrono Livracha L'Chai Olam Haba. But it's also true that whenever anybody that's worth anything, who is a Talmud of the Rav, anyone who considers himself a Talmud of the Rav, has to feel that whatever he's done in the past, or whatever he's written, or whatever he's learned, you set it aside, and you always start afresh. And you always see the sugya as if you've never seen it before in your entire life. What is Erev Yom Kippur? I didn't go back, look at my Divrei Torah, as profound and wonderful as they are. What is Erev Yom Kippur? And you'd be amazed how much you discover that you never saw before. But I'd like to concentrate, not in sequence here, but rather pick specific makoros, because the time is short, and I wanted to make sure that I make the essential points, and then if we have time, we'll go back. You know, there's a machloikas, a very important machlokes, about the vidui that anticipates Yom Kippur itself. Everyone knows that to mincha we say vidui. And the mincha vidui always precedes the seuda that we are going to eat. What is the point of this particular vidui? So the answer is, it was instituted by the Chachamim, dafka before the Seuda, because they had a fear, they had an anxiety about this meal. What was that fear? Is a machloikas between the Rambam on the one hand and other Rishonim on the other hand, which ultimately is based on a girsa in the Gemara. The Rambam interprets that the concern of the Chachamim was that there was going to be the possibility that during the meal the person would choke and die without vidui, and therefore without tshuva, and therefore without the kapara of Yom HaKippur. The Rav ask the obvious question, if he's going to die, even after he said vidui, during the Suda, If that is a possibility that is taken seriously, then what good is it that he said Vidui Erev Yom Kippur? He doesn't have the Kapara of Yom Kippur because he's not alive. And of course the answer must be that this Vidui is connected to the Kapara of Yom Kippur just the same, and says a lot about the notion of Erev Yom Kippur being integrally related to Yom Kippur itself, which has many, many other consequences. There is, of course, a Medrash, the Sifri, on the Pasuk Kaper La'amcha Yisrael Asher Padisa. The Chazal say Kaper, the Kapara that we ask from Hashem, and particularly on Yom Kippur, as the Mefarshim explain. And this is also the Makor, by the way, for Yizkor in general, which is originally associated with Yom Kippur too, and then expanded to the Yom Tovim. Kaper la'amcha Yisrael elu hachayim, asher padisa, that you have redeemed, you have taken the neshamas back, elu hamesim. Mikan shegam hamesim tzrichim kapara. So this person is gone, he choked during the meal, but he, having said vidui earlier in mincha, preceding the meal, is going to have the kapara of Yom HaKippur. The other Rishonim, having a different girsa in the Gemara, they say that the concern, the fear of the Chachamim that made them institute the vidui in Mincha and to recite this vidui in the Mincha before the Seuda was not because there was a concern that he might choke. That is a very unlikely circumstance. Ein choshishin lemisa, lemisa loy chashina. But rather, shema titaref daitai. Because maybe he'll lose his balance, and he will not be able to say vidui later. What should make him lose his balance? It's just a sa'uda. So the Ran says very precisely, Shema Yishtaker, maybe he'll get drunk. And I was thinking to myself that when I stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Mincha tomorrow afternoon, before the Seuda, and I have to be informed about the nature of this particular vidui of mine, which is a rabbinic institution. And I think in terms of the Rambam. You know what else I think? I think that the Rambam was mechadish another yesod. Everybody knows the Medrash of Reb Elezer that says, Shuv yoim echad lifnei misoscha. You're supposed to do tshuva before you pass away, one day earlier. So the Shalu Talmidov es Rebbe Lezer, v'chi odom yoideya mosa yomus. The Talmidim asked, well, does anyone know when he's going to die that he should know to do tshuva the day before? Would be a neat trick. So Rebbe Lezer answers his Talmidim, you're right. And therefore, everyone should imagine that tomorrow is that day and be perpetually in tshuva. The Rambam quotes this Medrash. But the Rambam's rendition of the Medrash is very different. How do I know then that the Rambam is quoting the Medrash? Because he concludes the statement with exactly the same words of the Medrash. Hadohu dechsiv, this is what it says, b'chol eis yihiyu begodecho livonim. Your garments should be white, pristine white, like the kittel that we wear. It's interesting that on Yom Kippur, the halacha is you have to wear a kittel. I'm not joking. It should not have the wine stains from Pesach. It has to be naki. Yes. Because that is the symbol of Yimiyu Chato'eichem Kashel Gyalbinu. In any case, B'chol Eisiyu B'godach Levonim is an image. It means that our neshama should be pure. It means we should be in a perpetual state of tshuva and ma'asim tov. Since the Rambam concludes with exactly this pasuk, b'chol eis yihiyu begodecha levonim, It is clear that the Rambam is quoting this Medrash, but this is the Lashon HaRambam. La'olam yira adam atzmai ki'ilu hu notel lomos. There's a tremendous difference. Anyone has any sense of the subtlety of language. There's a tremendous difference between saying that he might die tomorrow or he's about to die. There's something very immediate about notel lomos. Person's a goses. There's a tremendous difference between the two. And I was thinking to myself, what kind of a vidui is it if I know that the whole point that the Chachamim made this vidui is Shema Yechonek? This might be my last moment. And everybody's praying for a year of Hatzlocha, of Gesund. Everybody wants to live a very long life. But when he's saying that vidui, according to the Shitas HaRambam, he is Ke'ilu no Talomos. Because the whole institution of that vidui was for that purpose. And let's take the other perspective. You know, with all due respect to the vision, which I subscribe to and I sell it to my Talmidim, Yoyman Valayla, of the nobility of man and his greatness and his incredible capacity, but man is really also nothing. And I'll tell you how I know. From this other shita in the vidui of Yom Kippur's Mincha, Erev Yom Kippur's Mincha, before the Sa'uda. What are we worried about? That he might become shikr. Why? Because Yom Kippur is Kippurim? Why does he become shikr? What could bring a person to become shikr on such a day? It's a few minutes before Kol Nidre. We're taka busy with all this hachana. You understand, he came from the mikveh. In the mikveh, it's a different kind of mikveh than every regular mikveh. It's not an inyan of chayav adam l'tayar atzmai beregel. With the zechiv, maybe there's an inyan to be metayar from Tumas Keri, Tisha Kabim works. And Erev Yom Kippur, there's no such thing as Tisha Kabim. And you know why? Because the Darkei Moshe, the Rav used to mention it, the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah mentions in Simen Tov Reish Vav, that the Tara on Erev Yom Kippur is like Gerus, because we are transforming ourselves. The same way that the Rambam says that the Baal Tshuva is Mishana Shmoy, it's one of the Darkei Tshuva. Kloimar, Eini Oisai Ish Ela Acher, there was an Inyan that a Baal Tshuva, I remember Baal Tshuva came to me in Shul once many, many years ago, and he says, I'm changing my name, I'm a Baal Tshuva, I want to change my name. So in the same way we transform ourselves through going into the mikveh like the Ger, who has no relationship to the past. Kekoton Shenolad Domi. He comes out of the mikveh. There's even a shita that holds that you're supposed to say vidui in the mikveh. And there's a whole question of how you're supposed to say it if you're naked. Vidui in the mikveh. And then he comes out of that mikveh and he passes by many people and he gives each one tzedakah. It's a very big inyan of giving tzedakah. The Rambam says also midarkei atshuva that a person should give tzedakah kefi kochal. Kefi kochal means beyond hamavaz beiz al yavaz beiz yosem michaimesh. And you know why? Because Chazal tell us that the idea of a mevazviz, al yevazviz, is a cheshbin, because otherwise he might become poor himself if he gives away all of his money. But you know what? When someone is desperate, he'll give away every penny. Koil asher lo yitein ba'ad nafshay, says the pasuk in Iyov. Whatever he has, he gives ba'ad nafshay. And therefore, on Erev Yom Kippur, there's no limit. So he's given out tzedakah, he's gone to the mikveh, he's gone to shul. And he said vidui. And this is the last mincha before Yom Kippur. And everybody is collectively nurturing each and every one of them's private passion to do right and to be good. And then he comes home. And he comes home to a seudah that's kulay oimer kavod, a su'uda hamafsekes. And he's surrounded by his mishpacha. What are we afraid of? That he has to say the vidui before. Shema titarif daitai, zokteran machmas shichrusai. If man is not but kachalom yo'uf and kachotzir yovesh and kecheres hanishbar. Chazal held man up, but they also said, Shema Yishtaker in a Suda Hamafsekes. And when a person says that vidui, according to the other shita, what runs through my mind, that mincha vidui, is that ich bin takegonisht, and I have to constantly strive to come out of that unbelievably depressing sense of helplessness and hopelessness that each Yom Kippur past says to me, but didn't you promise to change and you didn't change all that much? And is it really any different? And can anyone really change? And you know what happens? This Seuda is supposed to be a perfect Seuda. It's supposed to be a perfect Seuda. It's a Seuda. You take a look at the Mate Ephraim, how he describes how you're supposed to say the Shir HaMa'alos. How you're supposed to say the Shir HaMa'alos. And yearn. B'shuva Hashem, b'shiva Tzion, for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And Kol Shekein, he says, the Birkas HaMazon itself. And you know what happens? What happens is people call. They call you because it's Erev Yom Kippur to wish you a good year. And you know what happens? The phone rings, and you're in the middle of the Seuda, and everything is supposed to be perfect. And your child brings you the phone. Who is it? It's Aunt Bertha. She's calling to wish you a good year. Aunt Bertha, that behemoth, is calling me? Aunt Bertha, the one who's rolling in money, and when I was desperate and I needed a halvah, she didn't so much as have, she had the temerity, the chutzpah, to dare say that things are a little tight by her? The only thing that's tight by her is her fist. So vasat menel shgitan to the Seudas Erev Yom Kippur, and if not to make a churban of your Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. And then the guy turns to his wife, not the same one, in another house. Turns to his wife and he says, by the way, I can't find my sneakers. You know, if you were a little more organized, I would find my sneakers. She says, well, I saw your sneakers just a few minutes ago. He says, really? He said, yeah, you were jogging yesterday and you put your sneakers, shteitzach, you know, in the middle of the living room. So I put it in the closet. He's thinking, why did she put it in the closet for? I always keep it over there. And she's thinking, he's always accusing me. He always has a bad word. He never thinks, he's never done the kaf schus. Was he given from the Seudas? Seuda mafsekes, the perfect Seuda. B'shuv Hashem b'shiv Asiyin ayinu kecholmen. Yet, our sense of our nothingness in unasane tokef is not because we have failings, and is not because we are empty of mitzvahs, and is not bechlal because we are not worthy, but rather very much the opposite. And I know that I haven't touched a single one of the makoros yet, but bear with me just another moment. I'll tell you what happened in an Asana Tokef. Because it's a Rambam. It's a Rambam that I learned when I was a child. It's a Rambam that I heard from the Rav maybe 500 times. And it's a Rambam that lives with me. So if I quote it more or less Baal Peh, don't make a big deal out of it. If you looked at something 1,000 times, you would know it Baal Peh also. The Rambam says in Perek Beis of Hilchos Yisoidei HaTorah, Kael, Hagodol, Anoira, Mitzvah, L'Avo, So, Uliyira, Mimenu. Shneamar, there's a mitzvah to love Hashem and there's a mitzvah to fear Hashem. Notice the sequence. Ava before Yira. Shneamar, V'yohafta Is Hashem Elokecha. And it says, Es Hashem Elokecha, Tira. Then the Rambam says, V'ichi Aderech L'Avosai, Yisbarach, how do you come to love Hashem? Because the Rambam understands you can't legislate love, the question that everybody asks by here and v'ahavta kamoch, how do you legislate love? Pasuk says v'ahavta is Hashem elokecha. So he says, b'sha'a she'yizboinein adam, B'maisav u'bruav ha'nifloyim. V'yirem hem chochmosa she'en la'erach v'loy keitz. When a person contemplates the incredible creation of Hashem and sees in it the unbelievable wisdom of Hashem, which has no limit, miyad hu mishabeach u'mefo'er u'mis'ave ta'av u'gdolo leida es Hashem agodo. He begins to praise and extol Hashem, and he has this tremendous yearning to come close. Leida means two things simultaneously in these words of the Rambam. Leida, to know Hashem, and Leida, to bind himself. Vayeda Adam es Chava Ishto. And then the Rambam says, so what's Yira? And then the Rambam continues and he says as follows. When he's thinking about these very thoughts of his love for Hashem and his yearning to know Hashem who created all this incredible world in its myriad manifestations, from the greatest of the cosmos to the smallest atom and everything in between, from the Grand Canyon to the Dead Sea, to the Yam HaMelech. Mizbonein bedvarim elu atzmam miyad hu nirta la'achorav. Immediately he pulls back, like someone that suddenly was in shock that he's in a place where he doesn't belong at all. And he's not dressed properly. And he's going to be found out very soon. And he has to run for his life. Miyad hu nirta la'achorav. And he feels shubir yoktana shfeila afeila omedes b'deya kalo ma'uta lifnei tmim deyos. And that is what David HaMelech said before he quotes David HaMelech. Tzoma nafshi lelokim lekel choy. And now he quotes David HaMelech again. Mo enosh ki siskerenu. You know what happens on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur? Klal Yisrael gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu his crown of Malucha. Don't forget that after Kachalocha Chalom Yov, what are the words? What are the words? You're a great Baal Tefillah, President Joel. What are the words? Va'atahu melech keel chai v'kayom. You see, when you're about to say Va'atahu melech keel chai v'kayom, you can have sometimes still, and I'm a prince. You're the melech, but I'm a prince. That's not good enough. Because we come so close to Hashem on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We are so profoundly immersed in the knowledge of Hashem and in the incredible creation of Hashem, which we are now realizing is being judged. The entire cosmos is being judged. And the whole world is over lefanav kivnei marayin, kivakara soya edrei, and that sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence and the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, which inspires us with this tremendous ava, has its immediate corollary of Adam, Adam, Adam. Yisoidai may offer. Man is nothing. The man is nothing in an asana tokev is not to limit him, it's not to step on him, it's not to reduce him, it is merely the consequence of having that incredible sense of the greatness of Hashem. Erev Yom Kippur, we are mechuyev to eat. Kol ha'echol v'shoisa. Look at the first makar. The Gemara is mentioned a few places in Shas. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, Pei Aleph Amid Beis, Rosh Hashanah Tes Amid Aleph. It's also mentioned in Brachos Dav Ches, as is mentioned in entry number 3. Tani Chiyo Barav Midifti Ve'inisem Es Nafshos Seichem B'Sisha. They read the pasuk, not b'sisha l'chodesh b'erev, as if to say it begins at night. First of all, everything begins at night, so why shouldn't this? Secondly, why mention sisha l'chodesh? Should have said b'erev, me'erev ad erev, v'asiri. So the fact that it says b'sisha l'chodesh, they learn that there's a v'inisim es nafshoseichem b'sisha, but that's not so, because everyone knows that you don't fast on tisha. So what is v'inisim you should cause yourself that deprivation, that suffering, v'inisem inui, of fasting, on tisha v'chi b'sisha mis'anin, v'ha ba'asiri mis'anin. Ela loy malach kol ha'eichel v'shoyse v'chi ma'alo lo v'akosav ki l'sana chi v'asiri. The incredible Gemara, only because, first of all, since one is eating like fasting, If eating was like fasting, all the diets would be out of business. Eating is not like fasting. Fasting is fasting, and eating is indulging. What's the pshat? Furthermore, what does the mean that ki'ilu his anachiv asiri? So, the first makar that I'd like to show you is something very fascinating from the Shibolei HaLeket. The Shibolei HaLeket Mechaber had a brother, Rabbi Binyamin. And if you're interested in very intriguing perceptions, go to Rabbi Binyamin. This Rabbi Binyamin, throughout the entire Sefer Shibolei HaLeket, is quoted. And he's quoted always something very, very, I would almost use the word offbeat. It's not the run-of-the-mill godless. There's something unique about the way he sees things. And this is what he says. The Makar is number 9. V'achi Reb Binyamin Zatzal Pirish, kol ha'ichol v'shoyse b'tshi, v'chachomim dorshu inu zeh, shehu b'achilu shesiyah. Ach, shetzorech lahafsik achilosom ibod yom, v'areyu ki'ilu is'ana tshi v'asiri. V'lo mishum toisefes choyl ala kodesh. V'zehu pirushoi, shemafsik achilosom ibod yom, ba'od shehu tshi, ad shelo yikon iso asiri. Hareyu ki'ilu is'ana tshi v'asiri. The Shibolei HaLeket had a very fascinating thing. He says the reason the Gemara says Ki'ilu is Ana is because we're talking about a fast on the Chi. But the Gemara itself asks the question, V'chi b'chi, misanin, and the Shibolei HaLeket says the Gemara's answer is yes. Where is this Tainus? We're eating, says the Shibolei HaLeket. That our, by the way, this explains perfectly why we call the Seuda what? Seuda HaMafsekes. Because you have to understand something. On Tisha B'Av, the term Seuda Mafsekes is obvious because the day is now coming close to Mishe Meso Muta Lefonov, and the Seuda, even though we are not fasting yet, but the last Seuda reflects that Tisha B'Av is there. Because you have to eat the Seuda in a manner that reflects a level of Avelus. You cannot eat Bitsavsa. You're not supposed to have a mezumen. You can only eat one tafshil. You have to eat ashes with eggs. There's a whole Torah of how to eat and what to eat. And nobody's choishish that you're going to become drunk in that meal. I can tell you that much. Because there's no bus of a yayin either. Why do we call the Seuda Erev Yom Kippur Seuda Mafsekes? It's just a Seuda. So the answer is because it's the last time you're eating. No, so what? You're allowed to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. It's not Yom Kippur. Vos Vilmin. But the way Rabbi Binyamin, the brother of the Shibolei HaLeket, explains it, it's perfect. You know why? Because it really is a Seuda HaMafsekes. You stop eating before the day of Yom Kippur officially begins. Why do you stop eating? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to have a mini tainus before he has the maxi tainus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have a tainus of 25 hours, including the Zman HaSofik. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wants you to have a tainus of a few moments. And the tainus of a few moments, says the Shibolei HaLeket, is ki'ilu his anachi v'yasir. It's hainu hach. It's unbelievable. So the Shibolei HaLeket's comprehension of the achilu shesiyah is to create a demarcation between the moment that I am permitted to eat and the next moment when I have to fast. And that's exactly how he concludes. He says that you have to understand something. That moment when we cease to eat, we were not mekabel toisfis yom hakipurim yet. We are not refraining from eating because it is now the zman which we added to Yom Kippur. You know very well that there's a big machloikas rishonim about whether Tosfos Shabbos and Yom Tov is Dairais or not, or whether there's such an inyan bachlal. It's very possible, according to the Rambam, there is no inyan of Tosfos Shabbos. Shabbos begins when it begins. Misafik, we have to begin from the Shkia. But Shabbos begins sui generis. It cannot have a contribution of our own. We cannot be mekabel Shabbos if it's not yet Shabbos. Of course, we don't paskin like the Rambam, and we are Mekabel Shabbos earlier. But when it comes to the Inui of Yom Kippur, the Rambam has an Inui by our own Kabbalah before the technical Yom Kippur begins, but our own Kabbalah creates a din of Yom Kippur mamish. Reb Binyamin is saying that the point that he's making, that there's a Tainus B'Tshi, is not the time that we added. That's already Yom Kippur by our addition. It's Chi, the ninth of Tishrei, has a fast day. And it lasts exactly a few moments. He says, V'loi mishum toisefes chayl. Ela lohidia shekach adin. She'eichel v'shoise kol hayoim. V'osa shoa kala. The last moments. And he doesn't even mean an hour. It doesn't have to be an hour. It could be 5 minutes. But that last moment that he does not eat, because he finished his Suda and he says, die. And he's not Mekabel Yom Kippur yet. Is Ketayne Sholem, V'harei HaYom Nechlak L'Shnayim K'moy Ach B'Yom Arishon Tashbisu, She'chetzio Osur V'chetzio Mutar. It's an unbelievable pshat. Very unique. But the Sfasemes has a completely different take. The Sfasemes does not want to learn, and nor do any of the other Mefarshim, want to learn that there's an inyan of Tainus Mamish on Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is Achilu Shesia. If there's Tainus, it's because Yom Kippur began. Whether you started it or HaKadosh Baruch Hu started it, but it's because Yom Kippur already began. There is no such thing as a Tainus of Chi. So what is the inyan of Achilu Shesia? What does the Gemara mean? Ki'ilu his ana Chi Vasir. And here the Sfasem is consistent very much with what was quoted earlier by Rav Schechter. He speaks about serving Hashem as a human being. Take a look. It's in reference number 6. Ube'emes Yom Kippur hu me'ein olam haba she'ein boi achilo she'siya. Ve'olam hazeh hu keprozdor b'fnei olam haba. What's a loimar? She'olam hazeh hu hachona la'olam haba. Ve'inyon kemo she'kosov yochin v'tzadik yulbash. Nimtza kol pnimius yeshla hislapshus uklipa. V'gashmius oylam azehu kisu yulavush la'oylam haba. U'tzrichim laharos. Ki kavonas kol achilo shesiyo rak liyois hachona uprozdor la'oylam haba she'ein boi achilo. V'zehu kavonas achilas erev yom ha'kipurim. And then he adds something very fascinating. U'be'emezu madregas yisron ba'al tshuva letzadik gomor. You know the chazal that says, b'mokoyim shebal tshuva oimdim ein tzadikim gemurim yecholim lamod. He wants to know, why is it so? Ki inyan hefresh b'nei odom l'malachei elyon. Ki ha'malochim hein ba'olam ha'elyon. U'b'nei yisrael zoichin loshuv l'olam haba min ha'olam hazeh. V'zeh yisron shelohem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us human. He made us human with all our frailties and our foibles, but he made us human to serve him in this world. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us to serve him in this world, it means through our gashmius bedavka. You know, I always say by a Shalom Zachar, what's the inyan of Shalom Zachar? What do you do to Shalom Zachar? Well, what do? You eat. And you drink beer. And arbis. All right, arbis has some sort of, all right. And cake. And more cake. And even more cake. And then to salve your conscience, you eat a few pieces of pineapple and whatever. It's always in that order. But lemaisa, vos tut men ba'a shalom zocher? You say divrei Torah. Divrei Torah is not part of a shalom zocher. They even get together, they say divrei Torah. What else are they supposed to do? A shalom zocher is to come together to eat. And when do you come together? When is a shalom zocher? Friday night. What have you just done? You've just eaten. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Neshama Yisera, and the Neshama Yisera, according to Rashi, Maseches Beis, is the capacity to eat even more. And we exercise that capacity. We test the Rashi. And we are always successful in corroborating Rashi Baruch Hashem, that there is some magical capacity to eat even more, although we have just been fed a Su'ud HaShloim B'Shait. What is this all about? So I'll tell you what it is in my estimation. It says, Meiner Ashtikel Chiddush, but I think it's La'amita Shel Torah. It's a very simple point. The Neshama has big tainus for being uprooted from Tachas Kisei HaKavod. She's there, she's warm, she's happy. Vos Vilmen von der Neshama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it into Golos brings it into a guf, and it's the same question that the Malachim asked to Moshe Rabbeinu when he arrived to collect the Torah. What are Kadosh Baruch Hu doing that he's giving a Torah to Basar Vadam? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to allow Moshe Rabbeinu to hold on to the Kisei HaKavod. That's how terrified he is. And he says, answer them. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, do you have parents that's kavidus avicha v'simecha? Do you eat that you have to bench? So what was the havim? You know, what was the maskana is not nageya to us right now. But the Ribbono Shel Olam gave a Torah to a Basar Vadam. He put the neshama of that little baby into a guf. And now he waits for the yid that becomes an Eved Hashem to serve him through his guf and to nurture the neshama dafka mitoich achilo shesiyah. And the question is, how do we prove that to the neshama? Maybe achilo shesiyah is in the way of kedusha. And we say to him, there's one day Yom Kippur, there are 52 Shabbosos. And Shabbos is holier than Yom Kippur. And the Isser Malacha of Shabbos is stronger than the Isser Malacha of Yom Kippur. And yet when it comes to Shabbos, it says, V'karosa la Shabbos oneg. And how are we ma'anig? B'maychol shomein. We are ma'anig with achilo and with shesiyah again and again and again. We prove the kedusha of Shabbos and its delight by eating and drinking. And that's what we do at a Shalom Zachar. We eat and drink again to tell the neshama our secret, that the Ribbono Shel Olam put you in because you have a derech avoda that you could not have when everything is perfect and everything is pure. And there are no nisyonos. And in the end, we say, look, we're eating and drinking because it's Shabbos. You see, the holiest day. We eat and we drink. That's what Hashem wants. And that's why you're here. And that's what this Sfas Emes says. You know why? Because when you eat on Erev Yom Kippur, you are fulfilling your inherent destiny, the destiny of that neshama to be incorporated into a guf. And that is the avoda that is unique to man that no malach can replace. And that is what Hashem yearns for. And that is why Erev Yom Kippur, in a certain sense, is more essential than Yom Kippur itself. Not for Kapara, but in terms of our Avoda. Because Erev Yom Kippur reflects the Avoda that we are meant to do. Whereas Yom Kippur reflects our desire to imitate the Malachim. On Yom Kippur, we transcend ourselves and we go up to a promontory that we cannot sustain. But Erev Yom Kippur, we are exactly where we're supposed to be all year long. And the question is, how do we manage that? I wanted to point out something about the vidui of the Ramban. Rabbi Zalman Auerbach paskens, what happens if a person forgot the vidui before the Seudah Mafsekes? So he says you should say it after the Seudah Mafsekes, but before the day begins of Yom Kippur itself. And he points out, Kedaihu Ramban Lismay Chalav. What does that mean? Because there's a machlokes rishonim based on the Gemara. When exactly are you mizvada in connection with the Iker Vidui, not the Vidui before Mincha, but after Mincha, after the Seudah Mafsekes? When is the first time that you're mizvada? So you see it in the Makoros here. Do you have another page beyond Makor number 11? Oh, it's in the back. Okay. You look in the Makoros and you take a look at the Mishnah Brura. That's the shortest of the Makoros, but he quotes the Shita of the Ramban. The second line in the middle of the line, V'yesh Poiskim, and number 14. V'yesh Poiskim she'sovrim she'tzorich lizvados gam achar achila kodem chashecha. He makes it very clear. Because in the Lishonus of the Ramban and the Beis Yosef, who quotes the Ramban, and the Ran who quotes the Ramban, it's im chashecha. Im chashecha would mean when it's already dark. But he says kodem chashecha. In other words, it's miba'od yom. According to the Ramban, there's a regular vidui, not the vidui that's out of fear, whether it's fear for choking or fear for shikrus. It's simply a real vidui. It's not the vidui that the Chachomim instituted earlier. So according to the Ramban, how many viduyim are there before Yom Kippur actually begins? Two. One of them, which is a technicality because of the Seuda, and the other one is after the Seuda, right before. What's the purpose of that vidui? The answer is because Erev Yom Kippur's purpose in its entirety, according to the Ramban, and whether this particular detail is so or not, is a machlokes rishonim, but the principle of the Ramban, everyone agrees to, is that you have to enter upon Yom Kippur in a state of purity. It's a very remarkable thing. You know, there's a notion that some people have that I just have to do Yom Kippur right and everything is forgiven. Many people have that feeling. And that's why, by the way, so many Jews fast who have no shaychus to Torah and mitzvahs. Yom Kippur is taken very seriously because there's a certain charm to Yom Kippur. It's an amulet, in that sense, a charm. Yom Kippur is an amulet. It's a kameya. It's a segula. You go through Yom Kippur, you got to do it right. So you come to shul, and you stand there, and you daven, maybe, maybe not. Some pray, some don't pray. Maybe you come to Yom Kippur with all kinds of pretenses. But actually, on Yom Kippur itself, you behave. It just doesn't pay. I want that kapara. It could be a geder of toivel v'sheretz biyodo, but people are not so sophisticated. An amulet is an amulet, a charm is a charm, a zgula is a zgula. But Chazal's understanding of Yom Kippur was radically different. And the avoda that precedes Yom Kippur, by the way, is not an avoda of hachona. It's not hachona. It's tahara. The ribon tahara, purification. You have to come into Yom Kippur in a state of purification. The mikveh, the vidui, it's all the same. You are pure. And part of that also is what the Rav used to mention many, many times, the Zichrono Livracha, that there is a responsibility to fix what we can fix. A responsibility to fix what we can fix is the reason for Kol Nidre, which, by the way, is also Mibaot Yom. Maybe for technical reasons, because you're not supposed to be matin the Dorim on Shabbos and Yontif. But everyone says, it's nishkefelach, because why? Some Nedarim we are allowed to be matted, and Nedarim that are Litzarech Hayom. And it is not called Nidre Litzarech Yom Kippur, because we have to fix ourselves. But the real reason that it's Bayom is because before the day begins, we have to do whatever we can to repair. And the same thing is true tshuva, which is why we do the vidui. There has to be a full-fledged tshuva before Yom Kippur begins. And that's what the Ramban was saying. There is nothing to do with Shema Yechonik. That was the earlier vidui. But there has to be a vidui and no time between that vidui and the opportunity to do chait before Yom Kippur begins. You say the vidui at the last possible moment of the day according to the Ramban, and then suddenly you enter upon Yom Kippur and you are perfect. We say vidui again and again and again. But it could very well be that the most important vidui of all, according to the Ramban, is dafka this vidui, which is the beginning before Yom Kippur starts. And I just want to be mesayim with one more observation. You know that on Yom Kippur, we start with psukim. And what pasuk do we quote? The nislach, slachno. Right? Slachno la'avon ha'mazeh kegodol chasdecho. Chashen ha'sosol ha'mazeh. You know, it's a very interesting thing. Whenever we say slichus, we say this pasuk too. But when do we say the pasuk? After Hashem Hashem kel rachum mechanun. Yom Kippur is the day of Hashem Hashem kel rachum mechanun to the extreme. The Rav used to say this over and over and over again, that all those machzorim that substituted the slichus on Yom Kippur with piyutim, they did us an injustice. And in fact, in the Machzor that you have, and in certain other Machzor from the Rav, that they just published not so long ago, they have in every one of the tefillahs slichas. Slichas to Ma'ariv we have. Slichas to Ne'ila everybody has. But they have slichas to Shachris, and slichas to Musaf, and slichas to Mincha. How can you have a Yom Kippur without Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun? Yasu Lefanai Kaseder Hazeh, Yasu Tshuva V'ani Moichalem. The whole essence of Yom Kippur is the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Voltman doch gemeint. that at least in the same way that by Slichos we first quote the Pasuk Hashem Hashem Kerachum Mechanun, that when we start Yom Kippur we should be immersed from the first moment of our tefillos in Midas HaRachamim. And the pasuk that we would quote that the Chazan sings out is not Slach no lavam hazeh kegoydel chazdecha, but rather Hashem Hashem kerachum. But it goes much deeper than that. What is the context of the pasuk Slach no lavon hazeh kegoydel chazdecha? Where does it come from? Who is asking for it? Moshe Rabbeinu. What is the petition of Moshe Rabbeinu, Slach no lavon hazeh? Everyone knows Vayechal, who goes to daven by a tainus and he listens to Vayechal Moshe es pnei Hashem alokov. There's no Slach no lavon hazeh in those psukim. The Egel episode, which Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to receive some sort of kapora and slicha and mechila and the survival of Klal Yisrael is at stake. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him? The midos harachamim does not have the petition of Slach no lavon hazeh. So where is it? So who knows? Like the Rav would say, who knows? Where does it come from? Chet HaMeragli. Vayoyim HaHashem, nu, salachti kidvarecha. It's a highlight. If you have a choir, ain't kleinekeit. Vayoyim HaHashem, salachti kidvarecha. It reverberates. A good tezach, no? Vayoyim HaHashem, salachti kidvarecha. Beautiful, wonderful. It's not wonderful. It's terrifying. You know why? Because it's kidvarecha. Do you know what the Eben Ezra says? The Ramban quotes the Eben Ezra here and he says he's right. Eben Ezra says, what does kidvarecha mean? Because Moshe Rabbeinu did not ask for absolute and total forgiveness for Klal Yisrael. He did not. In fact, you know what the Ramban says? The Ramban says that when it comes to the Chet HaEgel and its repetition in Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu makes it crystal clear that he pleaded on their behalf, his role. When it comes to the Chet HaMeraglim, even though Moshe Rabbeinu did in fact plead on behalf of Klal Yisrael, Slachno ka'om azek gotel chastecha, he doesn't make any mention of it in Sefer Dvarim when he repeats the Mishneh Torah, when he repeats those episodes. So the Ramban asks, why not? What's wrong? So the Ramban answers with this Eben Ezra. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Klal Yisrael. He was afraid of reminding them that his bakasha was not complete. And because of that, they had to stay in the Midbar for 40 years. Because it was Salachti Kidvarecha. Yetzt fragst doch der Kasha, Moshe Rabbeinu, is there any limit to his yearning for the success of Klal Yisrael? Is there any reason in the world why Moshe Rabbeinu should not want total absolution? And the answer is yes, there is. Because when you have a Chet HaMeraglim and you lose faith, whether it's faith in Hashem, faith in yourself, or whatever was going on in Chet HaMeraglim, you can't simply repair the moment with absolution. Because there's a corruption and there's a transformation. And that has to be resolved. And if you don't resolve that, you'll be like the person whose bone was set by the orthopedist in the wrong way. And it certainly heals, but when it heals, you can't walk except with a very severe limp for the rest of your life. Rachmana litzlan. And to set that bone properly sometimes requires that you break the bone again. And that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu said. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, forgive them. They want to go into Eretz Yisrael. But Ribbono Shel Olam, I acknowledge that they are not ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. And they have to fix themselves. And the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them a punishment, but gave them a reprieve to fix themselves. Do you know if we would start out with Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun, what the message would be? That Yom Kippur is a tremendous success already. I did my tshuva. I had my avoda of Olam Hazeh. I fasted my chi. However you want to look at Erev Yom Kippur. And now I am ready for the kapara of Yom Kippur itself. Whole and pure and complete in my avodas Hashem. And then if we would have said Hashem, Hashem, kelrachum v'chanun, we begin with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's responsibility to forgive us. No. Because Yom Kippur is an unbelievable avodah. It's not just the avodah of the Kohen Gadol, we don't have a Kohen Gadol. It's not the avodah of the Soyer La'Azazel, we don't have a Soyer La'Azazel. It's the avodah of each and every Jew before Hashem to make Yom Kippur not an amulet and not a charm and not a mantra, but rather a moment of absolute commitment which has to be declared over and over and over again. And therefore we begin with a statement that comes from the Chet HaMeraglim. And when we hear the words Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kedvarecha, we have to remember the words of Devin Ezra, whose commentary nails us and says to us, listen, it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive us, but we have a responsibility to be transformed. And we have to transform ourselves. It's our avodas Yom HaKippurim. The Ribbono Shel Olam should give us the zechus to be able to understand that and fully appreciate it. And we should be able to appreciate also what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been kind to us to give us the reprieve after such a churban of being able to come and sit and learn Torah together in such a warm and wonderful environment. We should all have a hatzlocha and gesund, nachas b'shefa. I don't know if Rav Schechter is a Kohen. I am a Kohen. I'm entitled to give you a bracha. I give you all a bracha. Everything that you need, Yemale Hashem Mishalos Libchem Letoiva. I give a bracha to this very wonderful yeshiva, that it should have a great, great hatzlocha, and we should all be great Abdei Hashem, and the Talmidim should be zoicha for unbelievable levels of Harbatzas Torah and Siyata Deshmaya in their learning and in their Avodas Hashem. We have some very, very incredible Talmidim. They're just Ein Doimelahem. And they deserve the Siyata Deshmaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if anyone does. And their commitment is so beautiful and so perfect. And let us hope that this Yom Kippur we do that Avodah with the understanding of Salachti Kedvarecha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a year when we are finally free of all our sinim and we are on the threshold of Bi'az Goyel Tzedek B'Mehera V'Yomeinu Amen.